Kia ora, anō. Hey, so last week we looked at how Jesus' death and resurrection, after Jesus' death and resurrection, Jesus tells his disciples to wait. And then he ascends to heaven, and the disciples, they waited. They waited on the top floor of someone's home, eating, talking, praying, waiting. And they were waiting because Jesus said God's promise of the Holy Spirit was going to be given to them. But first they waited for the promise. Over this Renew Together series, we're going to have the opportunity to try three different practices that help us wait. Oh, it sounds so much fun, doesn't it? These are connected to the beautiful Loyal Workshop coasters that have been made that Joel and Lizzie helped with in the Loyal Workshop that Andy and Lou worked in as well, that factory, yes. Oh, yes, thank you. I thought you were asking a question. Questions are all good. You can interrupt me and ask questions. That's fine. So the coasters are down on that table, and welcome to take one per household. Oh, it'd be so nice to have a whole set each, wouldn't it? But it doesn't quite work like that. But I'm sure they could be bought or purchased somewhere. But there's some down there, and there's also a prayer guide with, oh, not a prayer guide, sorry, the three practices that we can pick up and try and, you know, help us grow in our relationship with God. Over the next 3 weeks. So grab one of those down on that table at the back there afterwards. The Bible's New Testament book of Acts continues the story of Jesus. It is in fact all about him and his work by the Spirit. And this is seen in the whole church taking the whole gospel to the whole world. So this morning we're going to do a bit of a high-speed, big-picture, drone footage type overview of Acts chapters 1 and 2. Hold on. What might be the one thing that stands out to you that, inflamed by God's Spirit, settles into our hearts and minds this week? So just as God's Spirit is active in bringing about the birth of Jesus, we read that every Advent, lead up to Christmas, so the Spirit also brings about the birth of the church. And just as the Spirit helps explode Jesus' ministry to people, so the Spirit helps the people of God explode out into the world. But explode is a bit of an interesting word, isn't it? And I don't know if how good your memories are, but I chose to use that word as when we were looking at Mark's gospel a few weeks ago, we noted how the Spirit helped explode the good news of Jesus all over the place. And we made gingerbread bugs or plants that day as they have the potential to explode, which is sort of a bit of a mixed metaphor, wasn't it? They're very yummy as well. It was good to do. So anyway, so my Ezra and Libby, they made a gingerbread bug, and they've kept it going. Well, actually, I've kept it going. And we've enjoyed a few bottles of delicious gingerbread recently. Now, despite numerous instructions, somebody else in the house, had been getting quite frustrated at the slowness of how I was choosing to open the bottles. You might see where this is going. Impatient, you may say, and not wanting to wait. And so he decided to take matters into his own hands and open a bottle quickly, thinking that he could capture any overflow into his glass. What does Dad know? Not quite able to rescue the situation, despite being far too close at hand. The next thing I know is that ginger beer is squirting literally all over me, over my head from being opened down at this height, and all over the kitchen. Oh, there was power in that bottle and stickiness and very amused kids and quite an angry dad. We are laughing about it now, though. Yeah, I should have got a picture at the time. Actually, no, I wouldn't have. I was in no mood to take any pictures. I was not happy. Oh, well, there was rumours going on between the younger two that somebody was purposely knocking over the bottles when they were being stored in a relatively safe place in the garage. So that might have contributed to it. I think he was quite curious. So, in verses 6 to 8 in Acts chapter 1, the disciples, even though they'd had lots of instruction and role modelling from Jesus himself clearly didn't, they clearly show that they didn't get it through the question they ask. They say, Lord, are you going to give Israel its own king again? They think a powerful political national kingdom is coming. They've missed the boat. They've missed the instruction and the role modelling. And had they have their way, I'm sure there would be a big sticky mess to clean up. There's a bigger picture than what the disciples were imagining. And it was missed. And in our lives can still be missed if we don't take the time to let God reveal God's purposes and the way forward. So God's invitation to join in with making all things new is also an invitation to wait. To wait and to listen. It's God's mission in the world. It's not ours. And is accomplished through God's Spirit being at work and not through our power alone. Jesus' disciples thought God's mission was to their own people. But Jesus expanded their horizons with a plan for them at that time and place. That they will be witnesses not just in Jerusalem and Judea, but in Badlands Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Fortunately, having not got this, after Jesus ascends to heaven, Jesus' disciples go back to their waiting, upstairs in the home they were meeting in. And here we see the believers in unity, which probably comes from being together and spending time together, right? That's how it happens. Knowing each other, being vulnerable, building trust. I wonder if they recalled Jesus' prayer that they would be one, just as Jesus and God are one. A witness that would draw people to put their trust in the loving God. And the waiting believers pray. Prayer also helps build relationship and trust and unity. It's a constant reminder that this is God's mission, which is enabled through the Spirit. It's not about us. I love what Sean Delaney was saying in that video about prayer being a bit like the ocean, with the coming out, the coming in, and the flow, and it's easy, and with, sometimes it feels like high and dry. I think that's, and I'm sure there's like every experience in between as well. I really like that image. It's a new one for me. It's good to think about, I think. Mahi Pai that he was referencing is part of the local work that Arotahi is doing here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So I'm not going to speak much more about that, but there's some really, really cool stuff that they're doing. So that's what Mahi Pai is. So we might engage with that another time a bit more. So what happens next in the story? God's Spirit then comes to those first disciples. Pentecost. Goodness explodes. Not in a destructive, messy way, but in a great way. Not a bucket and soap cleanup sort of way that took quite a while for someone, not me. But this is the fulfillment of God's promise that Jesus gave in chapter 1, verse 8, that they will be empowered to be his witnesses. The church can now be and do what it was meant to do and be. The gathered crowd notices the empowered people and how they are using their gifts and abilities to benefit others. Peter preaches, telling of what God has done, inviting people to live in God's love. So these 120 gathered people, praying, sharing, waiting disciples, have received from God, and now they are empowered to live a different way from now on. There's learning together. There's building and deepening friendships. There's eating together. There's worshipping and praying together. There's practical care through sharing with each other. It's not perfect, but it's a picture of what can be. It's a simple, yet profoundly positive and powerful way of being. It's God's idea, and when we wait and listen and recalibrate to this vision, it can be very life-giving, not just for us, but in the sense that it gives us purpose and meaning following God, that following God brings, but it's for all people everywhere. As many of us know, yesterday our leadership board met for a half-day retreat, and the purpose of it was to distill all that we, the church, have shared over the last 3 months about what's been on our hearts for the church. We were trying to be dream catchers. I wish I'd thought of that a few months ago. That would have been, I could have played on that a bit. It's encouraging to reflect on this important passage of Scripture this morning, because we see disciples of Jesus back then gathering together in ways that have been clearly reflected in what disciples of Jesus here and now have been saying in our dream sharing. We see the simplicity in how they gathered, in ways that deepened relationship with each other. And we see how they prayed, and how they were devoted to teaching and learning, and how there was this beautiful diversity of people present and drawn into community, and how this all led to a spirit-inspired moving out to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And this stuff's been reflected in what's been said. So thank you so much for all the thought and effort you put into sharing what you did, whether it was up front or by email or in conversation. We were really conscious and grateful for your prayers this week. We even had freshly made scones, jam and cream unexpectedly dropped off to us mid-meeting. So we've been feeling the love, so thank you very much. So there was a lot of clarity and unity. There was a lot of hope and positivity and gratitude about where we're at and where we're moving to. On October the 20th, that's what, 5 weeks away, we're planning to give some feedback to the church where we've got to. We're looking forward to that. We wanted to finish Renew together and get through the school holidays, as well as give us some time to capture what we've been working on. So please be assured of our love and our care, and as usual, feel free to make contact if you'd like to. That sort of ties in a little bit with the whole early church stuff, doesn't it, in Acts chapter 1 and 2. So me and Noitato, let's pray together. God, we thank you that you know us. You know our tendency to want to be self-reliant, self-sufficient, reflected in trying to do things in our own strength and us trying to do things solo. Your call to wait and pray is a needed call to us, to seek you with others in order to be guided in your good ways. And God, you know that we need that in our church, especially in this season. And so we ask that your Spirit fill us and lead us afresh. Help us be your people in this place that you have called us to. Help us to know your heart. Amen.